I think we're going to start talking about growing up. I think. Along the lines of transformation, I want to look at how we're growing. We're growing into something. We're really growing into Christ. But what does that mean, and what does that look like, and how do we recognize when we've grown into Him? Because, you know, if you talk to any born-again Christian, whether they're spirit-filled or not, whether they believe in healing or not, whether they speak in tongues or not, they're going to, for the most part, agree that they're in Christ. If you're born again, you're in Christ. But I believe that what he's talking about is a place where, as he is, so are we in this world. And where it's not just that we're in Christ, but he's in us, and the old man has been put off. And now when we function, as we said, for me to live is Christ. So that it's no longer me doing these things in my own strength or my own abilities, but it's the Holy Spirit doing it through me. Now that can be a little confusing at times, especially when we say, well, we don't do it in our own strength. I think that all of you probably know that, you know, this morning I didn't just go into some prayer closet and pray in tongues and wait for the Holy Spirit to pick me up and put me behind this pulpit. But I did use the strength that's in my body to get out of bed, to get dressed, to drive across town, to show up in this building. So we're not talking about that we don't ever do anything with the strength that we've been given in our body, but we're saying that which we do under the influence and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit within us. As we grow more and more, what we do should not be coming from our own natural mind and our natural thoughts, but from the thought that originates from the Spirit within. And when I was speaking at the conference, I told you about this phrase I kept hearing in my spirit, and I still keep hearing it. And you'll just have to bear with me because this is kind of brand new, like this morning new. But I'm trying to determine really what he's saying when he says this. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm just going to read the verse that I'm looking for right now, and we'll put it in context here in a few minutes. But verse 26 says that he might present, I'm sorry, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And he's talking about the love that Christ has for the church. And I told you I was, one day when I was working, it began to rain, and it was raining so hard that it was difficult to see down the street. It was difficult to see more than maybe 10 feet in front of me, really. And it's just pouring, and I'm dripping wet, more than dripping wet. I'm drenched down to my, you know, everything that I have on is covered and drenched and wet. And I heard this phrase, the washing of water by the word. And I had kind of this inner conversation going on. Like, well, I always thought that was a really nice thing, you know. Because as I'm standing out there, I didn't feel like it was a very nice thing to be soaking wet and just covered from head to toe. And I began to realize that what Paul is talking about is not just, you know, brushing some things aside or rinsing some things off, but where this water, whatever this is that he's washing us with, it becomes a part of us in every part of our being. And for a while there, and from what I read there, I thought he's talking about the Word is washing us. But that's not what it says. It says he's washing us with water. He's washing us with water by the Word. So let's look at this again. And if I mess something up here, Gary will fix it later. But just be patient with me, because I'm still, honestly, this is something that the Lord is really just beginning to show me. And it's opening up something different to me than what I've seen before. And I can see that it ties in with this transformation and walking in the realms of the Spirit further than we have before. So I'll do my best to follow him. Do your best to pray for me and listen. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians 5 again. Let's back all the way up to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now look, Alan can teach that verse. Then we go on, for the husband... And I'm teasing. Just listen. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So here in 25 it says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When Jesus gave himself for us, he gave more than his life. We live in a free country. We live in America, and many, many men have given their life that we could stand here today and be free to have this church service, be free to live our lives as we do. There have been many men who have given their life. So if all he did was give his life, it would be, it's still wonderful, it's noble, it's nice, but he did much more than that. See, he gave us his standing with the Father. He gave up everything that he had. He's a son of God. He is righteousness. He is all that he is. He gave up on the cross. He came, became a man for us. He became a sacrifice for us. But when he died, it wasn't his physical death that he was crying out over, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet he knew, and he knew what was happening, but yet still the agony of being separated. Never before has he ever been separated from the Father. But for you, for me, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And I loved when Jim Martin was teaching about the joy. When one repents, we often misquote it and say the angels rejoice, but that's not what it says. It says there's joy in the presence of angels. The joy that the Father has when one repents. See, what did Christ give to the church? He gave us more than his life. He gave us the right to stand where he stood and stand where he stands today. It says we're seated together in heavenly places. So I believe when he's talking about the next verse is when he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the washing of water by the word. He uses the word to do the washing, but the washing comes from more than just the word. Everything that he's created you to be, everything that he's put on the inside of you, washes you from the world and the things that we've learned and the understandings of the natural mind. They're all washed by this new nature on the inside of us, by this new revelation that we now can receive from the Father that we couldn't have any other way. It could only come by having a new creation, by becoming a new creation. It could only come by God making this sacrifice. And as I was reading this, I'm thinking, you know, it's almost like Paul can't stay on subject here. Are you talking about husband and wives? Or are you talking about Christ and the church? And the answer is yes. He is. So let's look at this. 24 again. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And sometimes people think that is as much as Christ loved the church, but he's saying in the same way, where he was willing to give up everything for her and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, that the two shall be one flesh. He says this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so while Paul is giving instruction to the husband and the wife, he's really bringing out the relationship between Christ and the church. And when he talks about the mystery, yes, it's a mystery how two become one flesh. But he said the greater mystery that I'm really talking about is how we've become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that we're now one with him. And everything that he's giving us, he's using that to wash us, to cleanse us, to present us without blemish, that we could be as he is. One with him. You'd never think of Christ as having, you know, any hang up in his life, any addiction, any disability or mental anguish or whatever, you know, problems that we face on a regular basis, the things that we want cleaned up in our life. And many times we spend our life trying to clean them up. But he's saying he wants to wash us with the water. I believe that that water is the Holy Spirit. It's a new nature. It's the new spirit within you. It's all that Christ provided for you. He's washing you with that. And for us to understand it and be able to be washed with it, he takes the word. He uses the word to wash us. He uses the word to for us to understand and to become a part of what he has created us to be. Because how would you know that you were a new creation except you had the word of God? How would you know that you were seated in heavenly places with him except you had the word of God? How would you know what you're called to and what he has for you except you have the word? But see, if it was just the word that was washing us, then it would be enough for him to just speak to you, because you'd be cleansed by that and be able to go and do it. Like in my life, I've heard the Lord speak to me many times. And there's times when I've been able to function, or I've been able to apply that word using the wisdom that he has given by the Spirit. And when that happens, it's wonderful and we see great things happen. But you know, there's been many times when I've taken that word that he has given, but I've applied it with the wisdom that I have in my own man, my own natural understanding, and it doesn't work out very well. I've told you before how, as at a young age, the Lord put in my heart to go to Africa. But see, in my own wisdom, you know, I was ready to go. And if I had continued down that path, I probably would have gotten into debt and tried to get all of the things necessary to go. And I'd end up over there in Africa thinking, well, this is what you said, God. Yeah, but you hadn't been cleansed. You haven't been washed. You haven't been prepared. You haven't allowed that new nature time to build up inside of you the things that are necessary for you to do and be what I've said you are to do and be. I was going to say you couldn't tell me that then, but I think I did come to that realization. It may not have been exactly that, but I realized that what I wanted, the way I was going to do it wasn't going to work. So I had to give that up and continue on my walk with Him, continue growing into Christ, continue growing into what He has for me. Let's look again in Ephesians 4. This is basically the same message that I preached during the conference, but I feel like the Lord has added to it. I'm trying to take two messages that I have inside of me and put them into one. So just hallelujah. Let's see where we go. Let's start Ephesians 4. And we'll start in verse 14. Just before this, he was talking about the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and that they're there for the perfecting of the saints. And let's go to 12. Okay, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So he says we're growing up into Him in all things, and that Christ is the head. So here we read about the relationship between a man and his wife, and Christ in the body, and we understand that we are the bride of Christ, but at the same time, we have to realize we are the body of Christ. And He made this very clear when He talks about how the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the body. And here again, we're to grow up into Him, and yet still, even though we grow up into Him, we still realize that He is the head. Right? The head is where decisions are made. The head is where the eyes are. The head is where is what looks out and sees and decides what's the best direction to go, what's the best step to take, the best opportunity that's there. And we, as the body, have to submit ourselves to that authority in our life. And as we grow, we learn more and more how to walk according to the thoughts and intents of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So we can walk according to the ways that He thinks, the things that He wants, and the communication becomes more and more intimate. For example, there's communication right now going on in my body. My brain is talking to the rest of my body. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be breathing. I wouldn't be seeing. I wouldn't have, there's many involuntary actions going on that I don't think about. I don't have to wonder, you know, right now, is my spleen doing what it's supposed to be doing? You know, I don't have to check on it and say, oh, hang on. Are you? I don't even know what it's supposed to be doing. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's able to do it because of the information that's already programmed into my brain, and the head is telling the body what it ought to be doing. And that's a much more intimate conversation than you speaking, than the Lord speaking to us and us understanding it, or me speaking to you. It's a much more intimate conversation. And the communication that I'm giving you today is at a much lower level than that communication that's going on inside of your body. Because you don't have to think about that, it just happens. And I believe God is growing us up to a place where we can receive the mind of Christ, the vision of Christ, the idea of Christ, without having to sit down for 4 hours and have Him explain it to us word for word. But it's able to come because we're His body. He is us and we are Him. And because we're one, then the thoughts and the ideas and the intents and the things that He wants accomplished, we want accomplished. Because He's changed that nature on the inside of us. You know, when He created Adam, the Bible doesn't say every day He went down to Adam and said, "Now this is what you're going to do today and this is what you're not going to do today." Because Adam had a nature on the inside of him that was the nature of God. It was to say he was created in the image of God. His first nature was our new nature. He was walking the earth in communion with God Almighty. Now one day I'm going to have a conversation with Adam. Because I'm like, how in the world were you able to give that up for whatever it was that Eve was tempted by? It seems quite outrageous to me. Because here we know that Adam lived in the place that God had designed, and the whole plan of God is right there. There are people that I speak to on a regular basis because I'm out in the world, and oftentimes when they find out that I'm a Christian, they have their philosophies and ideas, and some of them have been Christians and they're not anymore, and you know, there's all kinds of different people out there. And I don't go to work to preach the gospel. You don't have to agree with that if you don't want to, but I don't get paid to preach the gospel. I get paid to put in internet service, so that's what I do. But throughout the day, I talk with many other people that are co-workers, sometimes customers. And some of them will come up with things like, you know, if God's so great, why this, and da 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 da. But the truth is, the whole plan of God is right there in the book of Genesis. That was God's idea. That man would be perfect, that he would live eternally, that he would multiply, that he would be fruitful, that life would go on. We would have life. We would have light. We would have joy. We'd be in the image of God. We'd be in the presence of God. Everything else that's going on was because Adam made the wrong decision. He's the one that committed the sin. He's the one who broke that covenant. He's the one that brought us down at this other path. So yeah, there's a lot of bad things that happened. The thing is, the plan of God hasn't changed, but He had to modify it over time and say, okay, well, you know, now if you're going to live this way, here's some rules that you're going to have to live by, because you have to understand that flesh is not going to live in my presence. Sin is not going to live with me. So He began to lay the law down and all of those things. So what I'm saying is, now, under the new covenant, when we've been born again, He's bringing us back to that place where we're in unity with Him. Where we can enjoy the creation that He's given us without guilt, condemnation, and wondering if we're going to be making a mistake in the next, you know, few minutes. We don't have to live. The Bible tells us that we're free from sin. As Pastor Dave used to say, you know, the reason that you sin is because you want to. Because you decided to. You don't have to anymore. You've been set free from that. You've been born again. I mean, it might sound a little difficult or a little hard, and you're like, well, you know, I can't help it. I'm addicted to this or I'm addicted to that. And I understand that there are problems that the Holy Spirit is there to help you through those problems, and He'll walk with you, but you have to come to the truth and the realization that you don't have to do those things anymore. You're doing them because you want to. Listen, I did them because I wanted to. This isn't a judgmental thing, it's the truth. It's just the way it is. The things that I do in my life that are not godly, I do them because I want to. It's not because I have to. And because of that truth, it sets me free to realize that a God who cannot change has given me the ability to change. And I can walk with Him. See, Pastor Dave said that if you pray long enough, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to change, or you're going to quit praying. So that's how the Holy Spirit turns on that search engine. That's part of the water that's being used to wash you. That's part of the water that He's turned on. He says, all right, you want to be without spot? You want to be without blemish? Here you go. Here's the Holy Spirit. And you go, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, you're so good. It's so wonderful. It feels good. Oh, your presence is so nice. And then Pastor Dave says, well, now what you need to do, epoxy your britches to the chair and pray. Okay, yeah, that'll be fun. You know, you do that for an hour. Okay. I put my hour in. No, well, then you got to come back and do it again, for, you know, and then again, and then again, and then, you know, maybe you might be here all day in prayer, and after a while, it's like you're wondering what is going on, because all the things that I wanted to accomplish, all the things that God said I could have, they seem further away from me than they did when I started. Well, that's because He's turning the search engine on, and He's finding those things in your life that are holding you back, because the thing that He had told you gave you the big picture and said, this is what I've called you to. Now let me cleanse you. Take away the blemishes, the wrinkles, all the things that are going to keep you from completing all that I have for you. Every place where the devil is going to be able to stop you, let me cleanse that out of you. And then you'll be able to do what I've called you to do. You'll be able to walk the way that I created you to walk, just like Adam did. I won't have to, you know, say, oh, hang on now, don't go that direction. Or wait a minute, you don't want to do that. Don't eat that tree, right? Because it was in Adam not to do it. He ended up doing it anyway. But that was a decision that he made. But we don't know how long he was in the garden. I think it was quite a little while, because he named all the animals. There's a lot of animals. I don't think you do that in a day. But maybe, I don't know. You know, he was there for a while. And we do see that God walked with him in the cool of the day, but his idea was not to be a babysitter or to be a taskmaster or a rule giver. He wants to be a father. He just wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to succeed. He wants what every father wants. He wants his children to grow up and be all that he's made them to be. And to do that, we've got to be washed. We have to be cleansed. We've got to have those spots and wrinkles taken care of. I'm not sure what the wrinkles are, but we got to have it out to where we are pure before Him, holy, where we walk as He walks in this world. Gary said something in the conference when he was preaching that... It's funny, the things that you remember that probably had nothing to do with the message, but he said, you know, it's not really my job to teach you what I know, it's to tell you what I hear. And funny enough, that really helped me, because oftentimes I'm up here trying to figure out how to be a better presenter, and really my job is tell you what I hear. To deliver what the Lord has for you. And even though I know that, and I've always known that, when Gary said that, it just really, I was like, yeah, that's right. This makes my job a lot easier. I'm just here to share with you what I believe God's saying, what I believe He has for us. So as we're growing up into Christ, He's given us several tools that help cleanse us, wash us, and prepare us to be that spotless bride, to be that holy person that He's called us to be. And like I said, one of those tools is the Holy Spirit praying in other tongues. And of course, we know we have worship and all those things, but what those tools do is they begin to turn on or emphasize that spirit that we have within us. Because each one of us is born of the flesh. And we're born into this world. But as Pastor Dave taught us, Cell for cell, your spirit man is contained within your natural being. So I don't know if you all remember, but he would say, you know, if I hold my finger up here and I ask you what's this finger made of, you could say, you know, it's flesh, it's blood, there's molecules of those types of things. And he said, now if I could step out of my body and stand next to my body in my spirit and hold my finger up, what would you say my spirit was made of? Of course, it's made of spiritual materials, spiritual molecules and those types of things. And I believe as we grow and as we mature in the things of God, we become more aware of that, of the spiritual material, the spiritual body, if you will, that we have within us. And I believe that we can mature to the place where we walk by the Spirit and it almost doesn't matter what our body does. Because when I read about Paul's life, you can see that he was stoned. He was stoned by professional executioners. They didn't throw pebbles at him, but they threw stones to destroy and crush and eliminate him off the face of the earth. And this was their job. They knew how to do it. And so even if you were to survive something like that, you're not going to, most likely weren't going to live very long because you've just been stoned by those professionals. And we have that in our Bible, and we see that Paul got up from there. And then we see that he was beaten with rods, that he was shipwrecked. And we see all these things that happened to his body, and really in the natural, there'd be no way for him to get up and to go after those things. And I don't know if God restored all of the physical features of his body, but I would imagine that when he got up from being stoned, there were some things that were messed up. Probably smashed, probably broken, and yet he still walked. And I believe that comes from understanding that power of the resurrection, that new nature that's in us, that spirit that he's given us. Just like Dave talked about the guy that didn't have the eye and he was able to see through his spiritual eye, Paul was able to get up whether he had physical legs or not. He's getting up and he's going to walk. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have physical legs. I'm just saying that the strength came from the Spirit within him. And as we grow into Christ, and as we grow into the things that God has for us, those, I believe that's where our strength is going to come from. Because we're living in a time that you must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The leadership of that Spirit that's on the inside of you. Because there are, we live in a world full of information, and people will tell you what's best for you. And you have lots of people that want to tell you what's best for you. And you have a lot of people that want to tell you what you shouldn't do. And they can give you all the reasons why. But then on the other side, someone can tell you why you shouldn't do something, and they can give you all the scientific reasons why not. It's almost like a political thing. We can tell you why the Democrats are great, and these ones can tell you why the Republicans are great. But see, we have to learn how to follow that inner man, the inner witness. I'm trying to do this without getting into politics. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now. I'm going to say a couple of things and hope it doesn't get me in trouble. But, you know, since the election in 2020, well, it's happened a long time before that, but what I've seen an emphasis on is an emphasis of division in this country, and it is throughout the world, but we live in this country, so I'll talk about that. And there's an emphasis on dividing the people. Now, it starts with Democrats, Republicans, fine. We've always had that, whatever. But then it goes beyond that. And, you know, if that doesn't work and people are beginning to unify, it seems there's something else for us to be divided over. Then there'll be some type of political action or an act of war or whatever that certain people are going to agree with and others are not. And they all have their reasons for it. And then we came to this vaccine for the virus that's going on in the earth, and then we have people that will tell you why you shouldn't get the vaccine and people that will tell you why you should. And I'm going to tell you this, if you don't know how to follow the Holy Spirit, then you better wait. You better get. You better hear from Him. Because there's going to be plenty of people who can tell you which direction you should go. And the other thing is, There's a spirit of fear that's been released upon the earth, if that's the right word to say. With all of these things that are going on, there's a spirit of fear attached to that. Okay? So people say, well, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus, but then they're afraid to get the vaccine. Right? I mean, come on, I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be mean, it's just the truth. You know, you could don't get the vaccine if you don't think it's right. I'm not trying to say that. But don't tell me that you're not afraid of anything, and then you're afraid, well, if I get that, I might die. I'll be dead in 2 years. Well, okay. Don't get it. You better pray. You better get some leadership. You better get some help. And if you did get the vaccine and then all of a sudden now you're afraid you're going to die, you can still get some leadership. You can still get some help. God will help you with that. Okay? No deadly thing is going to harm me. I'm not going to talk about the politics of the vaccine or the politics of this virus. What I'm talking about is the spiritual significance of these things in the earth today. There's been a rise of demonic infiltration to stop what God is doing here on the earth, specifically here in this place, because we are of those who are pressing on for revival. I'm not saying we're the only ones, but we're pressing into revival. That's always been the vision of this church. And it always will be, as far as I know. And so we're going to see that happen. And so the enemy has, throughout the years, always done things to stop the move of God. And when I say the move of God, the move towards revival and the manifestation, the full manifestation of that. As I listened to many of the services of the conference, which I wasn't here for much of it, but I've been trying to catch up on it. And the thing is, we're really, and not just the conference, just things that we've been talking about here, we're really stepping into that revival. When I say that, I mean, we're in it. It's just that we're not fully in the full flow of it at this moment, but we're in it. And it's like there's really nothing, there's nothing that can stop us, but there's everything that's trying to. If that makes sense. Hell is throwing everything it can to stop us. Now, I believe that there's nothing that will stop us. If something stops me, you know, somebody else can get in my place. Because I believe God's going to have His way. And I'm not going to let anything stop me. But I know that that's always a possibility. And if I need to get out of the way, get me out of the way. Because the revival is what we're after. It's not about what God can do in me. It's what He wants to do through His body and in the earth to rescue people, to change this place that we live in. This planet is in trouble. And I see the actions that are happening as very methodical and purposeful in that the enemy is doing all he can to stop what God is doing. Because it'd be one thing if you saw this division in the world. We always have had that. But what I see is a great division even among the church. So much so that it's gone beyond just you're right and I'm wrong to I don't want to be around you if you're not going to do what I do. If you're not going to believe the way I believe. And I'm not talking about spiritual beliefs either. I mean, whether it be political or it be medical or, you know, whatever it might be. It's come to a place where I believe there's a spirit behind it to separate and neutralize the power that we have in unity. If you'll remember, the Lord says He's pouring out a corporate anointing. So I just would caution you when it comes to the things of whether it be the vaccine or politics or whatever it might be, don't allow your opinions. Because honestly, that's what it is. I know you may not like it. You might think you're right, but it's an opinion. I think mine are right too, so it's okay. But don't allow that to dictate whether or not you can be with your brother or your sister, whether or not you're in unity with the person standing next to you, whether or not you can show Jesus to someone else that maybe doesn't believe the way you do. There's things that I have to do when I'm around certain people that I wouldn't do around other people. And as long as it isn't compromising my faith, as long as it isn't denying Christ, I'm okay with that. If I got to put a mask on to make you comfortable, I'm okay with that. If it means I can preach. When I was in Africa, everywhere I went, I had to wear a mask. But you know what? I still got to preach the gospel. I was still able to share the love and the grace of God with those people. And if I didn't put the mask on, I wouldn't be able to do that. If you'll remember Dave, he doesn't like to dress up. But he said, if I got to put on a tuxedo to share the gospel with you, that's what I got to do. We have to be willing to put our pride aside for the sake of the cause, for the sake of revival, for the sake of the gospel being preached, for the sake of the truth going out, for the sake of maturing of one another. You might find out that what we think we know isn't really the way it is anyway. As we mature, this is what happens. The things, when you hold on to something that's of natural wisdom, you're blocking the ability of your spirit to receive spiritual wisdom in that situation. Since I was talking about it, let's talk about the vaccine. Let's say you have gotten all of this knowledge that I'll go this way with it, that the vaccine is what you need and that you need to have that. And if you don't get it, you could get COVID and all these things. And you've researched and you've got an abundance of knowledge. So you're sure that this is what you need to do. And yet the Holy Spirit is trying to give wisdom to you to say, you don't need that because you don't need that. He may not even give you the reason. But you're not able to receive that if you're holding on to this natural knowledge. You can go either direction with it. And you can go into any circumstance you want to with it. But what I'm telling you today is that we're living in a time that has become more important. It's always been important. But it's a time when it's important for us to walk in the wisdom of the Spirit and forfeit the wisdom of the natural man. It's okay to get that understanding as long as you're able to submit it to the spiritual understanding, the spiritual wisdom. Many years ago, I think it was 2007, I was invited by a woman to come and be a pastor at a church in Guthrie, Oklahoma. I just told her, I said, well, I'm not a pastor and I'm not looking for a church. But I'll come and I'll preach, you know. Because see, in my understanding, I had a picture of what God had called me to. First of all, I knew a little bit of the calling. And then I took that little bit that I knew and I just figured it out on my own what that was supposed to look like. I knew that God had called me to preach. And I knew that in me, I didn't want to be no pastor. I'll go and I'll preach. I'll be an evangelist or I'll be a teacher. I'll be whatever. I'll go and I'll travel. And that'll be how God's going to use me. And I'd preach at different places and so forth. But this lady asked me to come. And so I went and I preached there one night or one day and a night. It was fine. It was good. And she starts asking me, well, do you know somebody else that might want to be a pastor here? So I start giving her other people that could go down there. And my brother went down there and preached for him. And I went down there just to support him. And on my way down to Guthrie, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he says, these are a people, a sheep without a shepherd, and I would like you to shepherd them. I said, okay. I still wasn't thinking I was going to be the pastor. I was just like, okay, but, you know, whatever that means. And I said, well, do you want me to pastor this church, Lord? And he didn't really say anything to me. And I was like, well, I'm going down here to support Doug. Maybe I can help him be a good, I'll be a helper shepherd, you know, whatever. And I'm down there, and Doug's preaching. And after the service, you know, I'm sitting in the chair there. And he walks right in front of me and he says, Hans, I don't know what it is, but the Lord says, yes. He says, yes. He said it 3 or 4 times. And so, I'm on my way home, and I said, I wonder what that's all about. And anyway, It took me about a month of really saying, okay, I guess maybe this is what God's called me to do. So I called the lady up, and I thought, well, even if the Lord tell me to do this, they have to want it, you know. I mean, they've got to be able to accept that. And I called this lady, and I kind of hem-haw around about, like, well, maybe I. She goes, oh my gosh, we have a pastor, we have a pastor, and so I said, well, I guess that'll be okay. So anyway, they of course sent me in there at the church and whatnot. And this is a church of about, I don't know, 15 people maybe. When I say it was a mess, just trust me, it was a mess. They had come from a church split. They had had 40 people before. They had had 12 or 13 different pastors. This was not, you know, my friends that are very well-intentioned, and I love them dearly, and I probably would have given the same advice. Said, you know, if it was, he said, brother, I would run. I'm just telling you, he says, if that was me, I would run. And I'd probably give someone the same advice. But the problem was, there was something on the inside. The Holy Spirit was saying, go. And so we went to that little church, and as big of a mess as it seemed in the natural, I remember the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I want you to have a foot washing ceremony. The only time I had ever done that was at Barbara's house, and I'd heard Dave talk a little bit about it. So I'm like, I don't even know how this is going to work, you know. But all I can tell you is people came, some people that had been one time to the church. Some people, there was an older man who'd been many years in a Pentecostal church, and he was so excited that we were having this foot washing. And we went through and we washed. I and my wife knelt down and we washed all their feet, and we prayed over them, and we prophesied to them, and we strengthened them. And there was a lady there when we came. They said, she goes, well, now we want to wash your feet. But she said, throw this water out, because we will not take the dirt and the filth that you've washed off of us and use that to clean what God has sent to us. And so we pastored that church. And all the reason I'm telling you that is that it's not because I'm someone special. It's because I listened to what the Holy Spirit had to say. In the natural, believe me, I wouldn't have done it, didn't want to be there. And we had challenges, and we went through all kinds of things. And one thing that God taught me the whole time I was there was that spirit and the flesh. Because we would have meetings, and everybody would say yes. And then we'd go to implement it, and everybody was against it. And so we began to see this fight, this battle that's going on. We had that wonderful service, and it was amazing, and God moved tremendously, and people were healed and restored. But yet there were still times when they're ready to fire me because they didn't like what I had said last week or whatever it might be. So there's still, what I'm saying is that the Word of God is good. And it's necessary, but it's the cleansing is got to happen before we can walk in the fullness of it. So he uses that word, but we got to have the water. We got to have the all of who Christ is. Because if the word was enough, the Bible says the truth will set you free. People quote that all the time, but that's not what it says. It says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, I mean, if the truth just made everyone free, every church should be free, because we all have the same Bible. We all have the truth. But the problem is we don't all know it. And we haven't all taken the water that God has given us. See, Paul had the new nature. Once Paul, on his road to Damascus, and when Jesus appeared to him, when that light appeared to him, when he was knocked to the ground, he didn't get up and start preaching the gospel. You know, he didn't get up and shake the snake off of his hand. He didn't get up and start healing people. He didn't get up and do all the things that God had called him to. It was actually many years before he was actually able to walk in the fullness of the call that was on his life. But yet he had that experience, and he knew the Word of God. He'd had that his whole life. But he had to take all that Christ had given him. Everything, that new nature, the life producing the new life in his spirit, and he had to allow that to wash him with the word that he already knew. Because he, like Pastor Dave talked about, how Paul was able to take the Old Testament and run it through that new nature and begin to explain to us what it really means to be born again, what the nature of God is really all about. But there was a process. There was a cleansing. There was a washing. He didn't go from one day killing saints to the next day raising them from the dead. There was a process. He didn't go from killing them to just loving them and being willing to give his life for them, which is ultimately what he did. Because he was washed by that water. Because that new nature and the spirit within him became more of a reality to him than all that he had accomplished. And he said, you know, all these great things that I have, I count it as dung, that I may know Christ, the power of his resurrection. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having natural wisdom, with having school and book smarts and all of those things. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as we understand where that belongs in our life. As long as we understand the relationship, just as the wife is to submit to the husband, and as the body is submitted to Christ, so that earthly wisdom is subject to and submitted to the spiritual wisdom that we receive from above. And it has to give way. And it is in many people's lives. I'm telling you, I talk to people every single day. For many, many people, that's the most difficult thing for them to overcome, is that natural wisdom that they have. Because how can you? Science can't explain to you how a man can be born of a virgin. The Bible tells us, to those who don't believe, the cross is foolishness. And it is to the natural man. But you see, if you're unwilling, that's why we have to humble ourselves. It says to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. We have to be meek and humble and moldable and pliable in order for the word to take effect in our life. And some of that moldability comes by the washing. When the Holy Spirit has you in prayer for day after day and week after week, month after month. Pastor Dave used to say, you know, they'll write articles about you and they'll take a picture of that grease spot over there where you sat with your head against the wall for, you know, days on end praying in the Holy Ghost. So your children will exaggerate and say, we used to hang out there for weeks, you know, because we would spend a day praying, allowing the Holy Spirit to turn that search engine on, to point out the things in our life that man's wisdom has developed that need to be destroyed or set aside or overcome by the wisdom of the Spirit. I would have never stayed in Guthrie if I listened to my own natural wisdom. I would not have ever continued there, because it was difficult. But believe this or not, I mean, there was a grace upon us. And there was no place I would have wanted to be that if I wasn't there. There was someone who came to help me, and he's like, what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to do what God told me to do. I mean, I've got to pastor this church, you know. And he's like, well, you know, there's so few people, and there's this, and there's that. And all of it in the natural made absolutely zero sense. But you know, the Lord gave us a plan. I must end with this. When I was working as a pastor in Guthrie, there was a man that came and visited me in the church, and he was resigning his position as a youth pastor in another church. It wasn't for any contentious reason. He just felt like the Lord was having him go someplace else. And I had started a service on Saturday night, and I was calling it Saturday Night Fellowship. But it wasn't about fellowship with one another, having meal and that kind of thing. This was about learning how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So we called it Saturday Night Fellowship. And he came to that service, and then he said to me, he says, I believe that I'm supposed to come to this church. And so, you know, we prayed, we talked about it a little bit and whatever. I was working at the time, And honestly, I had started a job at the same company I worked for now. This was like 2010. And I was still in training, and I was having to drive to Dallas every week and come back on the weekends. I could, you know, preach at the church, and I had talked to the church about it. We decided that that was the best thing for my family, for, you know, all of that. So, okay, we were in agreement. I think I was 3 or 4 weeks into my training, and I had met this man. We talked, and there was something in my spirit that was really, really telling me we need to do this. But I'm still working, and I'm out of town. So how's this all going to work, you know? And one night I was in Dallas, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to go." And I was like, "You want me to go where?" You know, I knew what he was talking about, because I'd been really torn about this. Do you want me to stay here? Do you want me to go back to Tulsa? Do you want me to stay in this job? Do you want me to go? I'm not Tulsa. It was Guthrie at the time. Do you want me to continue as the pastor, or work this job? I could do both, but it's going to be difficult. And the Holy Spirit said, "Go." So I said, "Okay." I said, "In the morning, I'll tell my instructor that I'm going to leave." And he said, "No." I said, "Go." And he said it about 3 times. And I took my stuff. I put it in my car. I drove out of the facility, handed them my badge, and went back to Guthrie. Now, don't do that if the Lord's not talking to you. I'm just telling you, you know. I'm not telling you that for something for you to do. What I'm going to tell you is that when I got back to Guthrie, I met with this gentleman, and we believed that we had a plan for what we needed to develop a plan for how we could work together. This church is a small church. How are we going to support 2 people, 2 ministers, and, you know, all of those things? But I knew that God had said it. So we drove out to his grandmother's house. His grandmother had passed away, and he had this vacant house. We drove out there, and we decided we're going to spend the night there in prayer, and we're going to discuss this. We're going to come up with a plan. We sat around the table to open in prayer, and the presence of the Lord came in the room. And all I can tell you is that the next thing I knew, we were laying flat on the ground, and it was like somebody was sitting on top of us. I mean, we did not move. We were moaning. We were just, the presence of God was so strong in that room. And all of the plans and ideas that we had for how that could work were completely gone. It was just obliterated. And we got up, we're staggering around, and we're like, "What just happened?" We got there at 7 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. We got up off of the ground, and I pulled myself to the table, and I got a piece of paper, and I wrote God, and I circled it, and I said, "Whatever fits in the circle, we'll keep, and anything on the outside, we'll throw out." And that was our whole plan. And from that, this is how ridiculous the mind of the Spirit can be in comparison to the mind of the natural mind. We went to a church of 12 or 13 people. We told them what we believed God had told us. We actually had a salary that we believed God had given us. And I'm going, if it was me, I would tell you, "You're crazy. We're not going to do this." But somehow, the Lord, after that moment, I wrote about a 4 or 5 page presentation. I'm not a salesman. I'm not any of those things. And I handed it out to those people. And the Lord gave me a dream. And there is these glasses that were laying on a table. And the whole congregation picked up a pair of glasses and put them on. And they could see the vision that God had for them. And so I did that. And that's how, that was the cover of my presentation, was a pair of glasses. And I shared all that with them. And they voted unanimously. This was a church where we had to vote. I know it's different, but that's the only way it was going to work there. And unanimously they voted that they would pay us this salary, that they would do all the things that we had decided to do, and that we would follow God together to fulfill this. And I think it was 3 or 4 days later, there was a couple of women that began a campaign to stop the things that we were implementing in the church. So I'm saying all of that to say this. There's a fight going on inside of every one of us to follow mind of the Spirit to follow the natural mind of the flesh. And while we have to use our natural strength to complete what God has given us to complete, we must submit it to the mind of the Spirit and follow after that which the Holy Spirit is giving us in His wisdom, even when it costs us everything. See, if the vote was no, I had no job. I had no future. I had no plan B. And it ended up working out okay. We had a lot of problems and a lot of things to get through. And even that gentleman that I'm telling you about ended up turning and not being a part of that anymore. Because I don't blame him. I do in a way, but what I'm saying is I know what happened. Not everyone is able to submit to that mind of the Spirit. And he'll do great in some church somewhere else, but it wasn't going to work where we are dedicated and determined to follow the Spirit. Not everyone has counted that cost and said, I'm willing to pay it. And sometimes, because we don't always know exactly where we're going, we're not sure what the cost is. And we have to be willing to pay with everything. That's why it says, my life is not my own. You know, that's why he says that we crucify our flesh. We take up our cross. We follow him. All of our own thoughts, ideas, pictures that we make of what God has called us to, we have to be willing to put that on the cross and say, you know what, Father, I'm following you. I'm not just following the plan you gave me. I'm not just following the calling that's on my life, but I'm following you. So if I never make it to Africa, Lord, we'll talk about it later because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But either way, I'm following you. And I'll do it the way you've said to do it. Amen. All right, so let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your presence that's been with us and that will continue to be with us. I thank you for this season that we're in, even now, Lord, where the revival waters are rising, or we're going deeper and deeper, Lord. And we ask you today, Father, help us. Help us to submit our natural wisdom and our earthly understanding to that understanding of the Spirit. Help us to walk more aware of who we are in you and to mature and to grow into that person where you are able to do what you want to through us and we're able to submit ourselves to you, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for this time, for this place, for the leadership here. And Lord, we just ask that you would dispatch angels to surround us as we go from this place, to keep us safe, bring us back here safely again, Lord, that we could honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.